Welcome to Mayfield Baptist Church. We are very excited to have you with us here. We do encourage you to follow us on our social media, which you can access through our website at mayfieldbaptist.com. Please feel free to like and subscribe to this podcast to keep you up to date with our latest messages. We do hope you enjoy this recent message from MBC, that it may help you connect to God, grow in your faith, and serve in your own context.
It's not my story, it's yours. I'm the interviewer. So Tess, are you a local girl? Like, where are you from?
I'm from Newcastle, so yes. I grew up in a place called Stockerington. My dad is Grant, who was just up here before. And my sister, a lot of you guys would know, is Rachel Bromley. So we had a bit of a hiatus where we've come back, so some of you may not actually know who I am, but we have like a generational kind of, we've been here for a while, the Wattses.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So, actually, your grandparents are here too, aren't? Just for people that don't know.
Granny and Pa, Jeanette and Trevor Watts, they're my grandparents, yeah.
They should have known they wouldn't get away with that one. So as a kid, what was one of your most favourite things to do?
So Stockerington, as well, Livos would know because they all took over our little Watts village out at Stockerington, is like a beautiful area filled with lots of bush and so on. So one of the things I loved doing was bushwalking, crawling through lantana tunnels and all that kind of jazz. And then my second thing that I really loved to do, I was a bit of a bookworm, still am. I've been reading a lot these school holidays, which has been really nice. So I used to sit in my hammock that I had hanging up in my room, my chair hammock, and have a bit of chocolate on the side and would like to get into a good
and
book.
And read.
Yeah.
Yeah. So a memory that I have, so fill in the gaps for me, was Scottish Highland dancing. So why? Where did that come from? Because I remember, all I remember was you competed. Mm-hmm. You were also drumming.
Yep.
But your dancing, I remember seeing it and you were very good at it. So just fill in all that story for me.
It's probably perspective. I wasn't.
I can't
I
do
okay
it at all.
At it. Like, I was okay. Yeah, so I did Scottish dancing, which is like Highland dancing, which is pretty high intensity, a little bit different to the country style Scottish dancing. And that kind of came about because I did a few different types of dancing and then Dad started playing the bagpipes, and that came from our Scottish background. So my so Granny's side of the family is originally from Scotland, and so Dad took an interest in that. And then I can't remember which one did I start first, snare drumming or dancing? Dancing first. So, yeah, I started when I was about 8, I think, or so, and then also started snare drumming in the Newcastle RSL pipe band as well from age 9. So, yeah, I did both of those for a total of about 15, 17 years. Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. Now, life can be tough, hard, so I'm just going to change tacks a bit. When you think of that and God with you, because you're God's girl, tell me about one of those or a couple of those times or whatever you wish to tell us about.
Yep.
A hard time when God showed up.
So there's probably quite a few of you here that know a little bit of our journey, and then there's probably equal amounts that don't know our journey because we kind of were away for a bit while a local portion of that was happening. But it all kind of, we've had a bit of a up and down kind of journey since 2012, beginning of 2012. Grant and I had taken a holiday to Europe, a holiday before starting our own family. And we were on a boat, or I should say a ship, called the Costa Concordia. So I don't know if anyone remembers that name, but it was all over the news back in 2012 because it was a cruise ship that sank. Off the coast of, or near a little island that was off the coast of Italy. So we were on that and had to evacuate in probably about 9 o'clock. It was actually on our 5th wedding anniversary that it decided to sink. So very memorable occasion. So when we eventually hit our 20-year anniversary, it'll be 15 years and very incremental. So that was a interesting experience in that it was a multilingual ship and English was not by far the first language that was announced and so on. So we were like fifth down the row of languages that would be announced. So Italian was first and then French. I think there was some Spanish in there because they stopped at a few Spanish ports as well. So it was a experience that was pretty surreal in a way. Like when you're kind of going through it, it kind of demonstrated the way that different cultures, I think, kind of deal with situations as well. So for us, we were quite calm. I think it was a lot of surreal, is this actually happening kind of situation. But by the time we got off the boat, ship, it was slanting about this way with our cabin on the downslant, so our cabin would have been underwater. And we were one of the last loads that actually managed to get off with a lifeboat because all the people that were on the upper side, they had waited too long to actually deploy lifeboats, and then it was up too high for them to actually safely deploy them. So people had to actually go down on ladder systems down into boats that were waiting down below for them. So I'm very grateful to God that we weren't on that side, that we were actually on the other side. And then a very long period of time of, you know, waiting on the island in the cold, and we managed to pack a few of our bits and bobs. We didn't have our passports because they take your passports when you go on if you're a foreigner. And then being shipped back to Rome, this Australian, what do you call them in other countries? Embassy was brilliant for us. The American embassy, we made quite a few friends with some Americans. Their embassy was not so crash hot, which I really felt for them. And we managed to be home really quickly. We're probably one of the first Australians actually home, which meant when we walked through the gates, there was a bucket load of journalists and cameras in our face, and our photos were in the newspaper. I had a friend from school who was watching the news one night, but it was on mute, and she just saw our pictures come up and the boat, and she started to freak out until she turned the TV on. And I think like lots of emotions going around that. I'm pretty good at compartmentalizing. So I kind of, and this is very much something that I guess I grew up with, was it's done. It's in the past now. Let's just move on. But there did come a period of time after we had gotten back where we kind of had to regroup and then try and sort through everything that was happening and figure out what we wanted to do in terms of how much exposure we wanted to, because we had a lot of people contacting us. And it was a pretty traumatic experience. It was the end of our European holiday, so we were like 2 days and we would have been back, flying back home, and we lost everything that we had bought, gifts and Grant's $100 bottle of scotch that he'd bought in Scotland, and some salvage person probably was in during that, there was a lot of processing of emotion when we came back. And what was interesting is in knowing when we came back that God had our back that entire time. So there was, I know for certain, I think there was two people, but one that I can remember clearly was Grant's auntie, who one night, this was before it had actually happened, she just felt called to pray for us and for our safety. And she didn't know why, but she just prayed into that space intensely for our safety. And then that happened. And then there was quite a few moments during that space where we were told to go back to our cabin, to not worry, to just wait and see what happened. And there was lots of times where I'm like, if we had followed these instructions, because there was a lot of confusion, a lot of miscommunication and no communication, we potentially would have been in a very serious situation, because 30 people did die on that in that incident. So very grateful to God that that happened. But that basically started off a really, crappy year. One highlight of that year was that we had Andrew. So he is our eldest. You've probably seen him dancing around. And not long after we got back, Grant's mentor died. So we went through that. And that year as well, my grandfather passed away after being hit by a car. Grant and I were in ER at that stage on drips from having severe gastro. And then my school principal died of a sudden massive heart attack as well, probably 3 weeks after that. Grant lost his job due to funding changes. He then also gained a job just before Andrew was born. So it was a very intense ride for 2012. And, yeah, that, I think that just kind of started off a lot of things in our life that have really changed and defined who we are as people.
Yeah, it fits with like a verse that that comes to mind, 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, she is a new creation. Behold, the old has gone, the new has come. So that sort of says to me we're always changing, and there's always transition. And we just quote that as a cute little verse. It's a good verse, but in actual fact, the reality of that is that we're not meant ever to be the same. So what changes, I know you've said, you know, there's God all the way through that story. What changes in you have come about? Because there's two parts to that. I want to ask you about maybe a scripture that has ever been God has given you when you've read and been applied to your life. But what changes in you have occurred?
I think honestly, it's been a refinement of just stickability. That's not really the word I wanted to use, but perseverance. There's been a lot of times where I could have walked away from God and could have walked away. There's been times where I've been like, look, I am just going to be here and I don't really feel a bucket load, but I'm just going to be here. One of those moments was when we lost our little boy, Isaac. So I was pregnant with a little boy who had a neural tube defect, and we knew from 13 weeks that he was only going to be with us for a short while, and he passed away when he was 29 weeks old. So that was a really traumatic experience in terms of knowing that God can heal, but then that not being what you see. I think as Christians we talk a lot about the miracle and the amazing blessings that can come through that, but we kind of don't talk as much about what happens when the miracle doesn't come, and we are left with having to process and trust in God and deal with that not happening and actually journeying with people through that, because that didn't happen for us. And I know that for us, our little boy's been healed. He's in heaven. He's healed in heaven. And that's where I had to come to that realization. There was many times throughout being pregnant with him where I gave things to God and went, I can't make these decisions. Like, you have to make them in Isaac, and he made them for me. And I was forever grateful that he made those for me rather than me having to make decisions that I really was going to struggle with making. Having our kids and Andrew, who is an absolutely gorgeous boy, but does come with difficulties of obviously communicating effectively and that type of thing, has just taught me perseverance, and that through so many trials, that even when you don't feel joy in those trials, because I know a lot of the times we go, look at the joy and hold on to the joy and celebrate in your trials, and that is really hard. Like, no offense, but trying to do that when you've lost a child or when you are dealing with a diagnosis for your child that is going to be lifelong, and there's grief involved in so many facets, it's an incredibly difficult thing to do, and it's a human thing to not seek joy. And it's okay if we just go, look, I'm just going to keep my head above water, and I'm going to keep my eyes on him and go, I know you're there. I'm not really feeling much, but I'm going to stick it out and stick through it. And that's really important. Yeah.
What a gorgeous truth. The New Testament talks about perseverance all the time. What a beautiful story. A scripture, is there, like, or another, any of God's words to you?
I know it's one that gets used a lot. But for I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. And That verse, I think, even though at times I haven't really felt that in my life, it is something that I have held onto in terms of perseverance and going, you know what, I can't see the future. I can't. God has blessed us numerous occasions throughout this moment. We're actually in a process of me stressing out massively because we're renovating and extending our house. We're living at my parents' rental, which is a massive blessing, but kind of going, you know, we are in a position throughout all of that hardship where we're still able to be able to do that. We're still able to have fun with our kids. We're still able to see the good through really hard times. Yeah.
Verses after that scripture is what you've done.
Yeah.
Because the next verse after, I know the plans I have for you. You know, not to do you any harm, but to for good, not to harm you. But you will seek me, and you will find me if you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you. I think that's where you've stuck it, and they're the verses that follow your verse. And I just see that. I think we've heard that, and thank you so much. Thanks. Anything more you want to say? I left it. I said to you, I'd leave it open.
I think I'm good.
Okay, thank you.